Gainesville. Now listen to the message, already in progress, by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Let us stand all over this place. Father, we thank you for this preaching privilege, and God, we ask that you will speak a word into our hearts and into our minds, a word that will remind us that you are God and that you're God alone. We thank you. We give praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 In the book of Philippians, chapter 4. And verses 6 through 8, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, there is a word from the Lord. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And for just a few moments this morning, I want to speak into your hearts from this subject. Don't let it get you down. Don't let it get you down. Thank you, ushers. Every now and then, life will put more on you than you can carry. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. You can wake up in the morning with your mind already running. Before your feet hit the floor, you're thinking about the bills, the children, the job, the doctor's report, the family drama, the church responsibility, the people who need you, the people who disappointed you, and the things that you still have not figured out. You can be smiling on the outside and struggling on the inside. Do I have a witness this morning? You can be dressed up and still be worn down. You can have your Bible under your arm, a song in your mouth, and still have a storm in your spirit. And if we're honest this morning, there are some things in life that do not just bother us, they burden us. They don't just frustrate us, they fatigue us. They don't just irritate us, they weigh us down. Life has a way of trying to pull you low. Bad news can bring you down. Family trouble can bring you down. Financial pressure can bring you down. A strained marriage can bring you down. A child acting crazy can bring you down. Folk talking about you can bring you down. Folk using you, overlooking you, lying on you, and smiling in your face while stabbing you in the back can bring you down. And sometimes it's not just one big thing. Do I have any witnesses? Sometimes it's a whole lot of little stuff stacked on top of each other. Death over here, disappointment over there. Bills over here, drama over there, sickness over here, pressure over there. And before long, your soul feels like an old truck with too much weight in the back, dragging you low on the highway of life. I've got some witnesses in this place. But I came with a word for somebody today. Don't let it get you down. I didn't say it won't hurt. I didn't say that it won't bother you. But I am saying you don't have to let it take your joy. You don't have to allow it to steal your peace. You don't have to let it wreck your mind, poison your spirit, or make you forget that God is still God. Is there anybody glad this morning? Because you know that God still sits on the throne. Paul writes these words from a hard place. He's not sitting somewhere with everything going his way. He's not writing from a beach chair with sweet tea in one hand and sunshine on his face. Paul is writing from prison. His body is locked up, but his faith is not locked down. His circumstances are restricted, but his praise is still free. His future is uncertain, but his confidence in God is still settled. And from a prison cell, Paul teaches the church how to have peace in a pressure-filled world. He says, be careful for nothing. That means don't be anxious about anything. Then he says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then he gives us the promise and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. That word keep is a military word. Amen. That word keep means to guard. It's the picture of a soldier standing watch. Paul says God's peace, let me hear everybody say God's peace. He says that God's peace will stand guard over your heart and your mind. Oh my, oh my. Your heart is where you feel. Your mind is where you think. And if the enemy can disturb how you feel and disorder how you think, he can rob you of your peace. But Paul says God has a peace that can guard your feelings and govern your thinking. I think that's why there are a lot of folk who are acting crazy these days. If you look at social media, you find folk fighting over here and folk fighting over there and folk cussing here, and people have lost their minds. I believe it's because they don't have the peace of God that will guard your heart and your mind. Peace that passes human understanding. Oh my, I don't know about y'all, but I want that kind of peace. I want that kind of peace, amen, that my degree will not figure out. I need the kind of peace, amen, that people and friends in high places can't help me to resolve. Is there anybody here today who needs that kind of peace that even your friends and your family cannot understand? So how do we get that kind of peace? I'm glad you asked, because Paul gives us the recipe. The first thing he tells us is to refuse to worry, watch this, about anything. He says, be careful for nothing. Now, how many of you know that's easier to quote than it is to live? Because some of us, amen, worry when things are bad and then worry when things are good because we're afraid that bad is on the way. I know I'm not the only one in here. Some people have been worrying so long, they don't know what to do with peace. But Paul says, be anxious for nothing. Can I tell you what nothing means? Nothing means nothing. Don't worry about the bill. Don't worry about the diagnosis. Don't worry about the child. Don't worry about the enemy. Don't worry about what you cannot control. And Jesus told us in Matthew 6 that worry doesn't make sense for the child of God. Where are my Bible readers at? Come here, Bible readers. Jesus said, number one, he said, look at the birds. Birds don't plant gardens. They don't work overtime. Birds don't have a savings account. They don't check the stock market. Birds don't sit on a pine branch in Louisiana heat having a nervous breakdown, but every morning they wake up singing. Oh my, how many of you know, I wish I could be like the bird. Amen. In spite of everything that's going on around me, I yet wake up singing. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Why are birds that way? It's because they understand that the same God who made them, he knows how to feed them. Is there anybody in here with a little more sense than the birds? Oh my, if the birds can wake up singing because they know that the same God who made them will also feed them, then we, the people of God, to whom God has given great understanding. Amen, amen. Nobody ought to be able to stop you from praising him. Every time I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, I got to give him some praise. But then Jesus said, don't just look at the birds. He said, look at the lilies, look at the flowers. They don't know how to sow. They don't shop. They don't worry, amen, about what they're going to wear. But every day God dresses them beautifully. And if God can dress grass that is here today and gone tomorrow, surely God can cover you. Yeah. Worry is unreasonable because it makes the problem look bigger than God. I like that old saying, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it will not take you anywhere. Somebody here has been rocking all week, rocking over stuff you cannot change, rocking over people you cannot fix, rocking over doors that you cannot open. But the Lord sent Pastor Garner by here this morning to tell you to get out of that chair, stop rocking, and start resting. God didn't bring you this far to leave you now. The same God who brought you through before can bring you through again. So the first thing Paul says is refuse to worry about anything. Tell your neighbor, don't let it get you down. But then the second thing Paul tells us, the second ingredient in this recipe, is talk to God about everything. Don't worry about anything, but talk to God about everything. Look at what he says. He says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. In other words, don't panic, pray. Don't worry, worship. Don't fall apart, fall on your knees. Don't sit up all night rehearsing it in your mind. Take it to the Lord in prayer. The old church had it right. They said, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Y'all, that ain't just a song. That's survival for some of us. Come on, come on. Where are my folk who will testify that prayer is how you keep from losing yourself? Where are my folk who know that prayer is how you hand God what is too heavy for you? Where are my folk? Oh, man, I just saw Sister Shawnee out in the lobby. God bless you, Sister Shawnee. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Prayer. Some of y'all don't know she had a stroke just about a month ago. Amen. I visited her in ICU at Rapides Hospital. But she's at her station this morning because prayer changes things. Because prayer works. Come on, give him praise today. Prayer is how you tell heaven, Lord, I can't handle this by myself. And some of us need to be honest. We've talked about it more than we've prayed about it. But Paul says, take it to God. Tell your neighbor, take it to God. If you prayed as much as you worried, you would have a whole lot less to worry about. If it's big enough to bother you, it's big enough to take it to God. Don't say, I don't want to bother him with little stuff. There is no small stuff when it comes to our Father and his children. If it concerns you, it concerns him. God cares about your family. God cares about your finances. God cares about your health. God cares about your mind. God cares about your grief. God cares about your loneliness. God cares about your ministry. God cares about your marriage. God cares about your children. God cares about your future. Take it to the Lord in prayer. No part of your life that's too small for his love. That's too big for his power. Children understand this better than we do. When a child needs something, come on, parents, that child doesn't sit around worrying about the checking account. That child ain't asking no questions about the light bill. That child cares nothing about the insurance or the grocery list. That child just comes and asks mama and daddy. Oh, I see I got some witnesses in here. Because the child knows, I may not know how mama's going to do it. I may not know how daddy is going to do it, but I know who to ask. Is there anybody in here that's lived long enough that you now know who to ask? Amen. That's a word for somebody today. Stop trying to be God. You don't have to know how he's going to fix it. You don't have to know when he's going to move. You don't have to know who he's going to use. You don't have to know where the blessing is coming from. Your job is to ask. Your job is to obey. Your job is to trust him. Your job is to keep walking by faith, because while you're trying to figure it out, God has already worked it out. Give him praise in this place. Romans 8:32 says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Y'all, that means that if God already gave you Jesus, he's not going to fail you with anything else. If he handled your sin, he can handle your stress. If he handled your soul, he can handle your situation. If he handled Calvary, he can handle your crisis. So Paul says, don't worry about anything and talk to God about everything. Just a little talk with Jesus will make it all right. But then the third ingredient in the recipe, Paul says, don't worry about anything. Talk to God about everything. But then he says, thank God in all things with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. Don't miss that. Paul says, when you pray, bring thanksgiving with you. Now, I want to say this carefully. The Bible doesn't tell us to thank God for everything as though everything that happens is good. There are some things that we don't thank God for. We don't thank God for injustice. We don't thank God for abuse. We don't thank God for evil. We don't thank God for sickness. We don't thank God for grief. We don't thank God for cruelty. But we can thank God in everything, because even when life is bad, come on, help me somebody, God is good. Come on, where are my witnesses who know that God can keep you in it? God can teach you through it. God can strengthen you under it. God can bring you out of it. God can turn it around. God can make it work together for your good. That's why 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You may not have everything you want, but you still have something to thank God for. You may not be where you want to be in life, but thank God you're not where you used to be. You may still have some trouble, but thank God you still have your right mind. You may still have some bills, but thank God he keeps making a way. He keeps opening doors. He keeps supplying all of my needs according to his riches in glory. And that's why I'm thankful. That's why I give him praise, because I know that if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I never would have made it. Where are my thankful people? Come on, give him praise today. You ought to thank him. Thank him for waking you up this morning. Thank him for letting you see another day. Thank him for food on the table. Somebody ought to be able to say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Do you know that gratitude gives your soul a memory? You know, muscles have the ability to remember stuff. Amen, amen, amen. I play the piano, but I haven't played in a long time. But I guarantee you that if I go sit down at the piano, I can still play some stuff that I played years ago because muscles have memory. But I come by to tell you, your soul has memory too. Amen, amen. Your soul ought to remind you that if God did it before, he will do it again. Come on. That's why I don't understand why some people have to have a praise leader and some people can't praise God unless the music is right. But there are three or four of us in here this morning who, when we think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for us, I've got a soul memory. My soul looks back and remembers how God brought me. My soul looks back and remembers how God brought me over and brought me through. And that's why I give him praise. Thank you, God. There's one more ingredient and I'm done. He says, keep your mind on the right things. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. Paul moves from prayer to the mind. Because y'all, peace is not just about what you pray. Peace is also about what you ponder. You can't have peace if you let everything live rent-free in your mind. Some of us need to serve some eviction notices. Do I have any witnesses here today? Fear has been living there too long. Fear, you've got to go. Bitterness has been living there too long. You've got to. Shame has been living there too long. Regret has been living there too long. What they said has been living there too long. What happened back then has been living there too long. Paul says, think on the right things. In this generation, that's a word all by itself, because our minds are crowded. Our children's minds are crowded. Phones in hand, news in our ears, drama on screens, opinions everywhere, bad reports everywhere, and everybody's business in our faces all day long. So much so that I have taken to account something I think I heard Sister Cora Moore say. Amen. She said we ought to spend 6 months minding our own business and 6 months leaving other people's business alone. Is there anybody here? I ain't trying to figure out where you've been or who you've been sleeping with. It ain't none of my business, amen, what you're doing in your life. The Bible says, seek your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. I'm tired of dealing with other folks' business. I just want my business to be right in the sight of God. Folk are tired, amen. We're tired. We're feeding our minds too much junk and expecting our souls to stay healthy. But Paul says, be careful what you let into your mind. Think on what is true. Think on what is honest. Think on what is pure. Think on what is just. Think on what is lovely. Think on what is of a good report. In other words, don't let your mind become a trash can for every lie, for every fear, for every rumor, for every insult, for every anxiety, every offense, and every negative possibility. You cannot stop every bird from flying over your head, but you can stop it from building a nest in your hair. You cannot stop every thought from coming, but you don't have to let every thought stay. When the thought says you're not enough, Oh my, I was feeling that the other day, that I'm not enough. And y'all, I'm going to show you how God works. Amen. A billboard, one of those digital billboards, I think it was right here on 171 somewhere, it popped up, you are enough. Is there anybody here that can thank God that he hears you when you pray?
that he speaks to your heart. You're his child, and he loves you. I want everybody in here to put your